Welcome to Marriage in the Making, a podcast to strengthen and encourage marriages.
This is Corey.
And Kimberly Gardner. We'll share our story, the good, the bad, the funny, and the sad, with some biblical wisdom as we help you navigate the challenges of marriage.
Welcome back. We just ended our series on foundation in marriage. If you missed any episodes, feel free to download any previous episodes so you can join in on the ride. Those episodes were tough, and they were definitely a doozy. We had scripture to back up some of our own experiences and are reminded that we have to walk daily in the four pillars of communication, unity, integrity, and humility. If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, leave a review and share it with a friend so other marriages can be strengthened and encouraged.
Well, today, guys, we're talking about dreams and vision. We aren't talking about going to sleep on your marriage. We're talking about the active dreaming of the future of your marriage. When we were kids and teenagers, we dreamed about what our future was going to be like. We dreamed about the type of job we were going to have, where we were going to live, even the car we were going to drive, etc. At some point in our lives, we've dreamed about something. Maybe it was starting a business, who knows? Those dreams then became goals. At least the ones that weren't about being Superman. Right? I don't know about you, but I was like, Catwoman, here I come.
You wanted to be Catwoman?
I just thought she was so cool. You know, when you watch Batman Returns, Michelle Pfeiffer, she was just like sassy. Like, you can't tell me what to do. And I just...
So as a young girl, like growing up, you were like, yeah, that's who I
was like, yeah, I'm be sassy. I'm going to kick butt. No one going to tell me what to do. Yeah.
Then you got humbled.
And then I got humbled.
That's so funny.
So, but from there, we made plans to achieve those goals. So, Ben, what dreams did you have as a kid?
What part of life?
I mean, what were you dreaming? What part of life?
No. Like, what I'm asking is, like, you know, how you said, like, man, it would be cool to be Catwoman. I think at different stages in life, you're like, man, it would be cool to be... this, or it would be cool to be that. I mean,
you choose.
I guess one of the biggest dreams I had when I was a teenager was I wanted to be a rock star.
Wayne's World, party time, excellent.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, that's what I picture. When you say that to me, that's what I picture. Although I know that wasn't it, that's what I picture.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I had, you know, various bands growing up and everything. And, you know... some success here and there with small shows, but it never went anywhere past that. But I always thought it'd be kind of cool to, like, you know, be on the road and meeting new people and seeing new states and or even new countries and stuff like that, playing music, and I thought that would be kind of cool.
So you reached your goal in some small, small part.
Local-wise, you know, like one of the... small venues there in Colorado, we got to actually step on stage where, like, some of the biggest bands that I still listen to today actually played on. So that was kind of cool, you know. Yeah.
Did you get any new goals to replace that? Because you're, you know, not a touring rock star right now.
No.
You are in my book. You're a rock star in my book.
Oh, man. That is, like, full-on cheese.
I mean, so?
Yeah. But I appreciate it. No, I don't think I did get any new ones, to be honest with you. Like, maybe I get, well, yeah. I mean, with my barbering career, you know, at some point in time, I would like to have, you know, my own, like, shop with other barbers, you know, right now, because I'm by myself.
Right.
So I think it'd be kind of cool to branch out and expand. And
shameless plug. Barber Nouveau.
Okay. So anyway, what about your dreams as a kid besides Catwoman?
Let's see. I really, when I was young, like young elementary school, wanted to be a choreographer.
What kind of dancing? Or wait, what kind of choreography?
Like, I used to watch, we used to watch like the MTV videos and all the music videos, and I used to be like, oh, I'm gonna be like Janet, and the videos would come out and I would like mimic the dances and I was like, oh, I could do this. And then.
So like pop and hip hop type choreography?
Yeah, pop and hip hop.
Okay.
And then as I got older, I realized like, that's never going to happen. I'd never taken a dance class in my life. And then, but then as I got into high school, like, so when I was a teenager, I actually really wanted to be a doctor.
Like a pediatrician?
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to heal kids. Heal the world.
You are very musical tonight.
I don't know where it's coming from.
So did you get new ones after your big dreams of becoming Doogie Howser?
Yeah, this like real skinny drummer showed up at my school and I had to teach him how to play his part for marching band. And I thought, you know what, this is actually kind of cool. I kind of like doing this. I could dig this.
I really wasn't that skinny.
You weren't that skinny. Couldn't read music. So I was like, this is, why do I have to do this? But then after I did teach you, I was like, wow, this is kind of fun. And, and turned it around and decided I was going to be a music teacher.
Who knows? You could still get that doctorate someday.
Someday.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Well, as with other areas of our lives, our marriage should have a vision and a dream for the future. So today we're going to set the stage for you to dream about your marriage and to write the vision. So first things first, we think it's pretty important that you set a date. Set aside a special time for you and your spouse to be able to dream together. Make dinner plans and talk over dinner, have dessert. Use this time to really listen to each other about the things that you see for your future.
Do you remember our first vision date?
I do. It was at Crane and Pelican.
Yes. Restaurant used to be it.
We haven't been there since the pandemic.
I mean, we haven't been there since...
We haven't been to any restaurant, like sit-down restaurant, since the pandemic.
Real talk. It's been a while for that one, but... I remember exactly how I felt setting down for that. I was like, we about to tear up the future. I think it was great to get to a place where we were by ourselves and didn't have any kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but there's no way I'm thinking about anything logical when I have kids running around.
Yeah. You definitely need some time by yourselves to sort of voice out any sort of opinions or fogginess or whatever. And it's hard to do that if you have little ones running around to distract you from your goals of setting goals.
What I liked about it was they didn't try to do this, but we ended up being more secluded. Kind of have like, we were kind of in the corner, which was great because then we could really focus on each other, have some tea, have a great meal, have some dessert together, and then just really lay it all out there.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, it was a cool date night.
It was. And it gave us clarity for our future.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next thing that you should do is write it down.
Mm-hmm.
When you go on your vision date, take a notebook with you. Like wherever this is at, if you decide to go to a restaurant or the weather's getting nice out right now, if you decide to go to a park, sit on a bench, if you have to drive your infant around until they fall asleep and you guys are in your car parked somewhere, like... Whatever it takes so that you have some time alone and you can focus on each other, take a notebook with you, write it down. And write down these things that you and your spouse say to give you a chance to see where your dreams are aligning with each other.
Mm-hmm. And if they even are.
Right.
Because at certain points in seasons, there's going to be times where maybe you're going to concentrate more on... One spouse's sort of, you know, goals versus the other. And the reason I'm bringing this up is me and Kimberly have kind of swapped those spaces where we're like, like really concentrating on like her career
right
for that season, and then vice versa.
Now we flipped it a little bit.
Right.
We're concentrating on building your business.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so some things to include when you're discussing, you know, your goals. You can have financial goals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the focus of a lot of our discussions right now.
Mm-hmm. I just want to spend it.
I'm just trying to be on my Anthony O'Neill, on my Chris Hogan.
You're Dave Ramsey. Yeah.
I'm trying to be debt free.
Yeah.
Live like no one today so we can live like no one tomorrow. That's my infomercial for mm-hmm. tonight. But yeah, financial goals.
Mm-hmm.
And you just touched on career goals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we spent 1 year really focusing on where you were going to go with your barbering career.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, at times you just sort of flip-flop back and forth. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but this goes back to, once again, the sort of the foundational, you know, sort of thing. You want to be able to support your spouse and live with humility and sort of integrity and encourage one another in the individual seasons. And then, you know, keep in mind that your goals are your spouse's goals and your spouse's goals are your goals.
That's true.
You guys are in this together.
Because we are one.
Mm-hmm.
There's also relationship goals.
Define that.
I'm thinking like the relationship one between each other,
mm-hmm.
what we have as a goal,
mm-hmm.
the relationship we have with our children.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I know for me specifically, you know, I wanted to spend more quality connected time with each of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, this year has really been a focus for me, which I'm loving on my Saturdays. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the different relationships that we affect as a married people or a married couple too, like other married people that we know.
Mm, friendships.
Like that. Friendships, right.
Mm-hmm. The characteristics to describe your family. So, I guess to expound would be how you want your family, how do you want to carry your family?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one. Carry.
You know, providing, for me, it would be like providing good leadership and a good model for other people to sort of see that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, my wife and my girls, but other people that I am affecting on a daily basis as well. But then, you know, walking, and for us, it's, you know, walking as Christians. And so, right. So, you know, walking with kindness and love and self-control and, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, right?
How we treat each other.
Yeah. And how we treat the people that we run into, not only family, like moms, dads, whatnot, mm-hmm. but the family, like people that you might, you know, see in Walmart, you
right? know, strangers
or Target or wherever you decide to sort of shop, you know, smiling to them, being kind to them. Like, what are the characteristics that you want to describe your family? And this isn't necessarily like, you know, my family is going to be this, right? It's more of like an action type thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. And then scripture that's particularly meaningful to you.
Mm.
So whenever something like that, Corey and I share scripture with each other all the time. We're like, did you read? Because right now we're reading the Bible together, a year plan. And when...
Which is awesome, by the way.
It is. It's really great because it has some videos that go along with it in the YouVersion app. So
yeah, Bible Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bible Project partnered with the YouVersion app to create a year-long reading plan. Mm-hmm. And one of the cool things about that is you can like comment mm-hmm. in each day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll comment to each other about things that we're reading separately, or we'll be like, did you hear, like, what was that word today?
Yada.
Yada.
Which means to really know someone in the relationship. So that's what God was wanting from us. Meaning, so when you say that you love someone, there's the action of love, but and you could say that you love someone, but when you really know someone, you can love them on a different level.
That you die.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what he was requiring. But yeah, so.
So you share that scripture at this time that's super meaningful to you. Mm-hmm. And this is really where we pick our word, too, for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, like, our word this year is cultivate. And so we've been working on cultivating different things in our lives. That's where kind of where I was talking about the relationships with, like, our kids and with each other and in Corey's business.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that we did discuss during that time when we were writing down our goals and the vision that we had was we were discussing where we saw our family in 5 years, and then we jumped 5 years, you know, 10 years and 15 years, and then we were sort of bouncing all these questions off of each other. And so here are some questions to sort of get you started. And some of them are going to be kind of funny, and some of them are going to be more serious, more grounded in, you know, I think goal-oriented things.
Some are super basic.
Yeah, like the first one, right? Do you want any pets?
Right. That's basic, but that's important.
Yeah, because if I'm, like, I'm allergic to dogs, I think. I mean, every time I walk into someone's house that has a dog, I immediately start sneezing and I have to take Benadryl.
And I think cats are evil.
So there you go.
So right now we have no pets.
I think we'd be okay with like a fish.
But I don't like fish in fish tanks.
I don't know. Maybe a lizard? No.
What are you going to do with a lizard? I'm not walking a lizard.
A bird?
Nope. I'm not cleaning up anybody's
Sounds like really expensive things for no reason.
For no reason. So right now we have no pets in the gardener household.
the next one, like this is a huge one, right? Do you want to start a family?
Ooh. And really this is something you should talk about before you get married.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have that discussion before, you definitely should talk about it now.
Do you remember when you would bring up kids to me?
Yeah, Corey was like, I don't want to have any kids right now.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, I'm ready to have one. And then I was like, well, I want to have like 5 kids. And he's like, no, I'm having one.
I just remember you would always like ask me these questions on our like long like road trips. It's like, chukunk, lock the door. You can't go nowhere,
so,
sucker.
Since we're on this in this car for 5 hours.
How about kids?
What do you think about this name?
And I would get so irritated.
That's women for you.
But I would think get that's really a woman thing.
And, yeah.
And for me, this was a problem, right? So, fam, this is what we're talking about. This is exactly what we're talking about. Discuss these things prior. Now, are goals going to change in your marriage?
Yes.
100%. But if we would have had these conversations prior, I probably wouldn't have got so dang irritated when she was asking me.
I mean, we knew we wanted to have kids. I think it was more like...
But you were ready like right off the bat.
I was like, let's do this.
Yeah, you were like, let's have kids.
I think part of it was like, I'm about to get into the 3-0s, mm-hmm. babe.
Yeah.
You know, I think
time is a ticket.
I think women, we get nervous that we may, you know, they say geriatric pregnancies are 35, y'all. 35. So when we start getting close to the 3-0s, we get nervous.
Yeah.
Let's just tell the truth. Yeah. We get nervous.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, ask that. So which leads to the next question. How many children do you want to have? I ain't having 5.
I ain't having 5.
Now that you have 2, you're like, yeah, man, I don't know about this.
No, I ain't having 5. Yeah. Look at it. I was thinking, I think every time we had a kid, the number came down. So I was, Corey's like, I want 1. And I was like, well, let's have 5. And then we had Lillian. And God bless her. She is wonderful, guys. I don't want you to think that we have like some crazy, like she's someday she's crazy. I'm not gonna lie, but
I mean, come on, she's 4.
She's wonderful.
She's awesome.
But after having her, I was like, well, maybe we'll have 4. And then we had our next one, our little Winifred.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, maybe we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just funny how your goals change, because there is no way anybody could convince me right now to have 5 kids.
Right. Yeah. Same. And so another one would be, you know, once you have those kids, where do you want them to go to school?
Oh, man, that's a big discussion in our house right now.
It's huge right now. Like, to the point where it's like, there's talks of relocating.
Right. Because we are huge believers of our kids going to the school that's in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And not that the school that's in our neighborhood is really actually not a horrible school.
No, not at all.
But it's like, if we're going to settle somewhere, we'd like her to settle and be in that place for, you know, the long haul. We are military kids, so we never had that experience. So our goal is to give that experience to our girls.
Have lifelong friends.
Yes.
Because we definitely, we've always had to build relationships everywhere we went.
Right. Our lifelong friends are from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were the last ones that we really had to have friends with.
I really feel like we've started building some relationships that are starting to begin lifelong friendships.
Right.
But once again,
we're in our 30s.
Right. And once again, man, with the girls, you really want to provide the best opportunities that you possibly can for them. And so that's a big one. Yeah, it's huge. So I guess next would be something like, do you want to buy a house or a car? Can you afford it? What are the financial steps? Man, if we would have known.
No, you can't afford it.
Like, don't ever go get a car note.
I feel like I have to tell everybody right now, you cannot afford it. You can't afford
anything. Don't ever get a car payment, ever.
No.
Now, this is our belief. This is sort of our thing, you know, that we've sort of discovered recently.
We've learned a lot about finances.
Right. And if we would have known now, or back then, what we know now, we probably would have been a lot better off. But we're working towards that.
Yes.
And we're getting all of our ducks in a row. And do you want to be out of debt?
Absolutely.
Yes, you do.
Hands down, yes.
No brainer. with that could in turn lead to other questions like, how long do we have a plan? And when I say how long, I mean, how long does it take us to pay off this debt? Are we going to be really aggressive?
All the things.
That kind of stuff. So, you know, these questions are sort of a like roundabout way of you, how do I say, like a...
honing in.
Yeah, like honing in, but then also these can branch off into other smaller questions.
Yes, they can.
That can also lead you down.
It'll lead into more discussion.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I think it's funny that the first one was, do you want to be out of debt? And then the next question that we had wrote down is, do you want to further your education?
Do you want to further your education?
Do you want to get further in debt? That's what that... Oh, man. Because, you know, school is really expensive.
School equals more debt.
And so, not all the time.
Get out there on them scholarship. Get on the scholarship game.
Or grants. Or, you know, save up money. Take classes part-time.
Or a teaching assistantship if you're going to get your graduate.
There's lots of ways to get money. And people will give you money. Obviously, there's stipulations that...
get money.
That, you know, are there. And then the last one we had wrote down are there any life experiences that you want to have or any traveling that you would like to do?
Yeah, because I think there are some things, some bucket list things mm-hmm. that different people have. And if you don't, like, I know eventually I want to take the girls to Disney World. Mm-hmm. But it's like going to be a super trip,
mm-hmm.
like a once in a lifetime super, not really, because we'll probably be able to do it again. But I want them to be one old enough to enjoy it, and I wanted to be able to do all the things and not, you know, you just be Mickey Mouse for a week, whatever it is. Because
mm-hmm.
I've never been, you've never been.
All I know is I want to get that VIP stuff so that I can skip the lines.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm writing the teacups. Backup.
Yeah. I don't want to stand in a line for 2 hours. That sounds terrible.
Right. Or if you want to travel to different places like...
Other countries
like Europe. Or I've always wanted to go to Egypt, so...
I want to go see where I was born.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
I want to go back to Germany at some point and see Berlin.
Berlin.
Yeah. So...
So we read the book Marriage After God by Aaron and Jennifer Smith.
More like you read. I was just kind of vicariously reading it through you.
So I read it out loud to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, that's us reading it together.
Yeah, it's like an audio book.
There you go. So there you go. Only with the best voice ever.
Yeah.
So, Marriage After God by Aaron and Jennifer Smith. And they have a section about dreaming together in their book, which we thoroughly enjoyed. The whole book is really awesome, but specifically this section. And in the back of the book, there are even some dream starters to help you get started with the conversation. So if you are looking for a book that is going to encourage you in your marriage and help you see how it's a ministry and find some reading material that is going to address foundation in marriage and recognizing you and your spouse's strengths, this is a book to check out. It opened our eyes to some issues we didn't even realize we had in our marriage. Like, we were on our way to see my dad, and we were in the car, and we were in like the first couple chapters, and it broke us all the way down, y'all.
We had just hit Nashville too.
Yeah.
I remember when it happened.
It broke us all the way down. Both of us were like, I'm so ashamed of how I've treated you over the past, 2 years. I think we were married for 2 or 3 years at that point. But it's a great book. We're going to link it in our show notes. You won't be disappointed if you get it. Make sure you check it out. Give them some love. They also have a podcast called Marriage After God, if you want to check them out. But, always make sure you're listening here first and then go check them out. No, I'm just kidding. They're actually pretty wonderful to listen to as
very,
well.
Very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah. So you guys know this probably is not going to be completed in one sitting. I mean, if you want to do a marathon day where you have like breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same place, they're going to love you for the business. But you're probably going to need a couple of vision or dream dates to really hone in and focus on what's important to you and your spouse. Once you have your dreams and goals, write them and post them somewhere so you and your spouse know what you're working toward. This can be like a simple piece of paper, posted on the fridge, or a carefully crafted poster that's framed in your house. Like right now, we have a financial goal posted on our refrigerator, and we walk past it every day so that we can be focused on hitting that goal.
And really irritated that we racked up that much debt.
Yeah, so it lights a fire under us to get things taken care of.
I'm not ashamed.
Nope. Fixing it. Hashtag fixing it.
Yeah. We're getting there.
Yep.
We are definitely getting there, man. And it feels great.
It does.
To like slam some of that debt, man.
It does. And because we're doing it together, like we're encouraging each other. We're reminding each other of our goal.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh man, this.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we reach a little baby step in that goal, you want to talk about the celebration. Deion Sanders, they got nothing on me when it comes to an end zone dance. You got to decide how elaborate you want to get with it. We have in our living room, it's not something we made ourselves, but it's a canvas that has a list of different things that we do in this house. Like we pray in this house, we give second chances in this house, and that kind of goes along with our vision and for the characteristics of our family. I am super, super nerdy, and with some of our bigger goals, I create logic models for them, like actual documents to get us there.
That's helpful.
And to me, it's easy helpful to see it because I'm a visual learner.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing those steps that we take to get us to our goals is super exciting to me. Like when we made your logic model for Barber Nouveau, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so awesome. Like this, I could see the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those detailed documents we use in some things, but it's not for everyone. You just have to figure out what's going to work best for you.
I think the cool thing about, jumping back to our date, like the cool thing was like the year after, and we were looking through the goals after we had sat down and, as you said, had tea and dinner. Right. So it was more like you had tea. I think I just had water, but anyway.
I have tea everywhere.
Yeah. We looked at the things that we had wrote down. We looked at the scripture that we had wrote down. the goals that we had discussed. And it was cool because we were able to like check them off. It was like, you know, like, oh man, we completed that and we completed that. And I think by writing them down, you're consciously like implanting them in your head. I mean, they say that like taking notes during a lecture helps you, you know, sort of recount what the professor or the teacher was saying. But even when people doodle, like during note taking and stuff, that helps as well. So by writing it down, seeing it being written down, implanting it in your head, like you're engaging all these senses and stuff like that. And it's you're able to see it kind of come into, like you were just saying with your logic models, by writing this list down, it's kind of cool to be able to check it off and go, oh man, that was cool that we were able to complete this. What's the future hold?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it was cool.
You look back and you're like, we did that.
Yeah, you feel accomplished.
For sure. Well, Corey and I are going to go on this journey with you guys over the next week, and we're going to share some of our marriage dreams on Instagram. Make sure you head over to marriage.in.the.making. Marriage in the Making, just search us. And help us build a community of couples that can share in this marriage walk. So we will post some of the post some questions to get you guys thinking. We'll post some of the different answers we have. We might have a video. We're not super video people, but you know what? This might be the week to do it.
Mm. Yeah, I'm camera shy. So we usually start off the episodes with scripture, and so this is my favorite part. I'm such a scripture nerd.
I love it though.
Yeah, I love it too. but so now we are going to share the scripture that we think you should keep in the forefront of your minds as you work to accomplish the dreams that you've sort of laid out for your family. And you may have to, of course, re-examine some of the dreams you have for your family if they don't align with the scripture that you've chosen, or just in general with God's word. We have said it before, and I think we've made it pretty clear that we are, you know, sticking to what the book says.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes against the word, we're not going
to
do it.
Yeah, we try to stay away from all those things.
And
not
then
scripture.
And then not, you know,
not scripturally sound, let me put it that way.
Right, and then not misconstrue. Because mm-hmm. you can take scripture and go, see, look at that.
Yeah, pull part of one out of a paragraph and go, see.
Right, and we're about to like describe that here, you know, in the next scriptures. You know, I think there's what's the big one? Ask and you shall receive, or
knock and the door will be open.
No. Is the one where Jesus is basically like, I will give you the everything, riches of your heart, or
the desires of your heart.
Is that, yeah, no.
They say that through many of the scriptures, so that's why I was like,
what? It's like, man, I'm desiring a new Bugatti. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, that's...
Yep, that's what I desire.
And then you go and read the whole chapter, and you're like, oh, dang it, he wasn't talking about cars.
No Bugattis for you.
Or $1 million. All right, so Psalm, if you guys got a Bible, crack it open. If not, I can read it for you. We're going to be moving to Psalm 37, verse 4. And so it reads, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so this is just what I was talking about. You know, if you're desiring, you know, money and cars and a big old house and a labradoodle, that's unfortunately not what what David was talking about here. And so in my study Bible, it actually states it so perfectly. And I would love to read it for you. And it reads, when there is a close fellowship with the Lord, meaning there's a close walk. You guys are basically walking hand in hand and very close, which goes back to the word study, yada, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Like you know the Lord, right? So when there is a close fellowship with the Lord, a person's heart's desire will match with God's will and purposes.
I'm pretty sure God isn't walking around saying I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Very, very much no.
No, he's not.
It's a person's heart's desires will match with God's will and purposes. And so read it in context. And so I think when you, it's perfect. Like, I don't know if I need to say anything else.
Right. I mean, the one thing I do want to say is just because we're obviously over-exaggerating with the whole Bugatti thing.
Yes.
Do we know that people desire money for certain things? Yes. Because some people desire, like, I desire money to get out of debt. Right? But not just because I want to get out of debt so I can go buy things.
Or blow it on,
right,
you know, something, a new Bugatti.
Bugatti?
I don't know why I chose that.
I don't know either.
But anyway.
And it's not to say that people that own Bugattis are bad. Like, don't take it that way.
No.
What we're saying is like, align your heart to God's will. And for us, we want to get out of debt, not only so that we can provide for our daughters and build generational wealth for them to set them up and build a legacy, but because we want to be generous to other people. And it's hard to be generous to other people when you got, you know, when you're the tail instead of the head and you're the borrower instead of the lender. Like, that's not what the Bible says we get to be. So we're trying to get to that point. And I think that's just something I want to make sure people know. We're not saying it's bad to have money, because that's not it.
Right.
It's just making sure that it goes along with God's will.
And so going back to it, right, it's saying to delight yourself in the Lord. Right. So you're having close fellowship with him, but you're delighting yourself in his ways and in his heart and what he wants for you. And then he will give you the desires of your heart. And he's meaning, because we're so aligned, because we are one, I'm going to give you basically my desires because you desire what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not going to desire the new Bugatti, right? You're not going to desire that kind of stuff. You're going to want to desire the things that scripture sort of tells us how to live. And Kimberly, doesn't Matthew 6:33 actually reiterate this?
Yeah, it goes into, in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So this really solidifies what you were just saying, the fact that first and foremost, you should be on a path to having a relationship with God. Seek first the kingdom of righteousness. Seek him. Seek to be living in a way that honors and edifies him. Seek to turn your heart to Jesus. Like, there are other things you're seeking to get that relationship with God. And this is a constant and continual work. This isn't a one and done. It's not like, oh, forgive me of my sins and we're good to go.
I desire that $1 million.
It's not a lifetime membership card that you just get it, you know, you hit the thing. No, I mean, it is a lifetime membership in that God wants you forever, but you have to continue to work on that relationship. It can't be one-sided. It's gotta be a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means you have to continue to read scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to continue to pray,
mm-hmm,
and to talk to the Father and continue to live out the love of God in your life. And speaking of prayer,
mm-hmm,
that's something you and your spouse should do when you're thinking about your dreams,
mm-hmm,
is to pray with each other about it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. So when you do these things, you're aligning your desires with God's. So that helps you to align your desires. When you pray, when you read the scripture, and you start to take those things into your heart, he's going to then add all these other things that you desire and to you in your life if you're continuing your close fellowship with him. That includes having fellowship with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked a while back about having three people being a part of this marriage, and it's you, your spouse, and God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're having fellowship with God and you are seeking to live a God-filled marriage, then that means you're going to have fellowship with your spouse. And then your desires are going to start to align as well,
mm-hmm,
because you guys are going to have the same heart for God.
Right. And they're going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're allowing the Lord to come into your heart, soften your heart, a lot of the those desires that you might have thought that you wanted are going to all of a sudden probably disappear, because you're going to see that they don't align with the way that the Lord is leading you to go. When you're being led by His Spirit, when you're being led by the Scripture, and when, like you said, praying, you know, and seeking Him, and really joining that union and becoming united,
unity
with your spouse and your God.
So, guys, we want to thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to take the next week to really dream about the future of your marriage. I mean, like, no holds barred. Have little date nights.
Even if you want that Bugatti.
Even if you want it, write it down. Write the vision. No? Okay. So, for us, that usually means, you know, put the kids to bed. Get out some ice cream. Or get out some tea. Those are my two go-tos. Because I don't want to share my ice cream, and I don't want to share my tea, and my daughter loves tea.
And ice cream.
And who doesn't love ice cream? Well, some people don't. Mm-hmm. But so.
Some people can't have ice cream.
Set that time, and I feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. Set that time aside each day this week. Really try to focus on that. And realize that God has placed you each here for a special purpose. And together, your marriage is going to fulfill and carry that out.
It's going to look different.
It is going to look different.
From everybody else's, it's going to look different, but the foundational sort of outline and biblical structure and the union and all that stuff is going to be the same, but the way that He leads you and the things that you're accomplishing in life is going to look totally different than what Kimberly and I's relationship looks like.
Right. No one can have what we have.
That was not very humble or anything of you. You can't do that.
No one can have what we have. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Make sure to check in every week for new episodes and head over to Instagram to become a part of the Marriage in the Making family. Guys, we're going to see you next week. Be blessed and stay encouraged. Bye, fam.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to hit subscribe to get notifications when a new episode drops. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a review so others can find us and come along for the ride. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @Marriage in the Making for some additional encouragement.